difference in Christ Jesus. If the synoptist presents us with a motion picture of the life of our Lord, St. John presents us with a series of still pictures. His entire gospel centers in perhaps some 20 days in the life of our Lord. What is presented is a series of detailed vignettes, pictures painted not with broad strokes, but in exact detail. What he has done is painted in living color, whereas the synoptists have painted pictures of our Lord in black and white. Now, what are these pictures which St. John has painted is the one which we have before us this morning, the story of our Lord's visit in Samaria. I should like to focus our attention then on a few of the jewels in this vignette. It's particularly striking that in dealing with the Samaritan woman, our Lord did not hesitate to speak to her both law and gospel. He spoke to her of the water of life for which she had a longing. He teased her interest. He went back and tied it with the event before him, the water that was there in that well, and applied it to an eternal truth, the water of life. And he led her to a consideration of the importance of the eternal as it is contrasted with the temporal. And he led her to trust in him for her eternal salvation. But he did not hesitate to proclaim to her the law. He told her in no uncertain terms that she was violating God's commandments in her marital relationship. And there was no attempt to soften that preaching of the law. He did not seek extenuating circumstances to excuse her. He did not seek to ameliorate the proclamation of the law by telling her that this lifestyle had been adopted by many both in Israel and in Samaria. There was no attempt to gain her goodwill by encouraging her to believe that perhaps God did not really mean to impose those standards on her at this particular age in time. And then after he had proclaimed the law, our Lord came with the glorious gospel, telling this woman of his messianic office, pointing her to the fulfillment of the Old Testament, to the hopes that she and her fellow Samaritans had, as well as to the hopes which the Jews had. So powerful was his testimony that the woman not only believed herself, but invited her friends to come and to share the satisfactions which he had gained. But the disciples also have a part to play in this vignette. Our Lord had lessons for them. His challenge to enter the fields that were ripe for harvest is one which has a special meaning for us as we begin this last quarter of the school year. It is to serve as reapers in the Lord's harvest that you and I have been called. And you'll note that Jesus tells us that we are to gather fruit for eternal life. How important this concept is for the ministry of the gospel in many areas of the Christian goal has been lost sight of. Many people today believe that it is the responsibility of the church and of preachers in the church to focus men's attention on the problems of the life that now is, and to seek to solve the problems that men and women face as they live out their lives here on earth. And yet, our Lord's words are clear. We are to gather fruit for eternal life, and our emphasis must constantly be on the life that is to come. Perhaps because of the minimal emphasis that the life that is to come has in the church today, we need to emphasize even more the presentation that our Lord made to this woman and that is made throughout Scripture. Of course, the church must have its effect on the life that now is. Of course, the life of sanctification must begin while we are here on earth. Of course, Christians must speak out on matters which affect their temporal existence. And of course, Christians cannot pass by on the other side. But the real focus of the church's preaching must always be to lift the eyes of men from the thorns and thistles of this life to the perfect paradise which is promised to them whom God has chosen as his own. When others continue to focus their attention on the life that is now in, we must focus our attention ever more certainly on the life that is to come. In our text, the Lord said to his disciples, "One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not sow." His words there remind us of John the Baptist's proclamation, "He must increase and I must decrease." The church does indeed have its heroes, those who in the life to come, we are told, will shine as the stars forever and ever. But the church does not have a place for the cult of personality. Some of us indeed will have the satisfaction of reaping where we have sown, but many of us will reap what others have sown. And ultimately, we must recognize that the seed is God's seed, and the growth that comes is growth that he brings about. There is a danger when the personality of the preacher eclipses the personality of the Lord himself. That's evident from the history of our own church body, from the story of Mark and Stephan, and it certainly is evident more recently from the Jim Jones disaster. Finally, in this vignette, we see the importance of personal conviction and personal commitment. The Samaritans who came to believe did so not because of the testimony of the Samaritan woman, powerful and convincing as it must have been, but rather as the result of their own conviction. They had answered the invitation, "Come and see," and the Holy Spirit had worked in their hearts even as he had worked in the heart of a Samaritan woman. He had indeed planted, but it was God who gave the increase. Her role and her responsibility was merely to sow the seed. And that is the responsibility that you and I have, that others come to accept Christ Jesus, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to go out and proclaim the word. happen that in addition to the broad stroke accounts of our Lord's life that we have in the Synoptic Gospels, we have also these striking vignettes from the Gospel of St. John. They are very human and very true to life. They're meaningful to you and to me who are our Lord's disciples in this last part of the 20th century. The fields are still ripe to the harvest. And so as we begin this last quarter of the school year, we pray as always that the Lord will bless our reading for him and for eternity. Amen.